is in this bag.
It's in this bag.
And they're holding to it. The district's holding to it.
What a waste of money.
Yeah, their front end here is not like, they don't use the state front end. They don't use the state architect's front end.
Okay.
They their own front end. So if we need to add like Division 1 stuff for project conditions,
mm-hmm.
we might add one section in general or something.
We need to copy that somehow.
This is the pre-bid meeting for the district headquarter redevelopment project. Project 13, 2007. PID 292233. We are recording this. The recording will be provided as a transcript. During the meeting, if you have any questions or comments, please state your name and who you represent so that we know who was asking the questions. Also, if you could silence your cell phones. Any interruptions, I appreciate that. If you have not, please sign in the back of the sign-in sheet so that we get the view is all here. To start off, I'd like to go around the room and introduce everybody. My name is Jim Clark, our Department of Transportation. So please start, let's go this way and work our way around the room.
Rod Moss, District 1 Planning.
Chris Hardesty, District 1 Business and Resources Administrator.
Ben White, Thomas Lumber Construction.
Greg Roderick, Nassauer Electric.
Bennett, the Gordian Group.
Nathan Fox, the Gordian Group.
Mark and Andy Martin,
ODOT Facilities.
Rod Newman, Highway Management Administrator, District 1.
Bill Reiner, Moody Nolan.
Mike Burmeister, Moody Nolan.
Adam Zahn, Structure Point.
Devin Lim, AEC.
Sean Goodwin, Structure Point.
Jim Robinson, ODOT.
Darren Schimler, ODOT, District 1 Construction Administrator.
Mike Murphy, ODOT, Area Engineer, District 1.
Rick Putterbus, Central Office Facilities from ODOT.
Tony Watts, ODOT, Facilities Manager.
Kirk Slusher, ODOT.
Al Marshall, Allied.
Evan Burke, Allied.
Well, thanks for everybody for showing up today. I'd like to start off by allowing Stacy, our environmental coordinator, to discuss some of the environmental concerns and commitments that have been put in the plans and need to be adhered to. So I'll turn it over to Stacy.
So I'm just going to go over some of the things that might impact bids. Some of them are plan notes, some of them aren't. Just going to run through some stuff. Stop me anytime if any questions. First one is ODNR's map showed that there might be an oil and gas well on the property. If it's found, if we encounter it, it needs to be abandoned in accordance with ODNR's State of Ohio technical guidance for sealing unused wells. There's a note in there about potential for petroleum contaminated soils and or groundwater. Just be aware of that. Only trees marked on the plans as being removed shall be cut. No other trees 8 inches or larger in diameter shall be removed. There's some dead ones out there. If they're dead, they're not marked, only the ones marked get cut. No other ones, dead or not, leave them alone. There's a waterway permit in process for the project. A little tricky since the federal government is shut down, so we're not sure when we'll get it. But there are two wetlands on site. They are shown on the plan. Basically, we just need to put orange snow fencing around the wetlands before construction starts and then leave it up until the permit is acquired. Then we can take it down and, you know, everything will be good to go. We'll have more, like a special provisions package once we get the permit that has more conditions. We have to do all terms and conditions of that. That includes a stormwater pollution prevention plan, or SW3B. Other items that aren't notes, proper concrete washout area. There's an asbestos report done on both of the buildings that I think is available. We can make it available. And then no work or staging is permitted outside the construction limits, especially within the wooded area on the southwest corner of the property. That's all I have. Anybody has any questions?
with Vic. Pretty much just open it up for any questions or concerns that you may have that we can address today. If they can't be addressed today, we'll make note of it, and those questions will be answered through an upcoming addenda. So hopefully we can have everything taken care of before you guys leave. So as that, if there's any questions, by all means, ask. Or if there's no concern, for anybody, just glad to be here today.
Contractors don't have any questions, timing, plans, details.
And again, and after today, if there are things that come up, you do have the ability to pose questions through our pre-bid process by sending an email. I'll answer those questions or issue addendum, whichever is required. So if for some reason you don't think of it today, you do have that ability up until a point in time we get ready to sell this.
Let me discuss a few of the requirements that may be different from other construction projects that you may have gotten involved in. All building permits on this project will be under the jurisdiction of the Department of Commerce, State Agency, Division of Industrial Compliance. We have building permits for the buildings already in place. Any subsequent permit submissions that need to take place, the contractors' engineered drawings will be delivered back through ODOT, and the design engineers will submit those to Industrial Compliance for final approval. That needs to take place in sufficient time prior to the delivery of that particular material, whether it's roof trusses, fire suppression, or anything that might be required. The contractor will call for all required inspections back through Industrial Compliance. Those are on the those notes are in the drawings. There's no local building official inspections on this project. Also, ODOT construction material specifications will be applicable for essentially any civil engineering type items. Anything that has an ODOT item number other than the ones that are going to say facilities or special, those are governed through the ODOT construction spec book. If you've done other work for other agencies, through the state architect office or residential commercial, you'll see some different specifications. You need to pay great attention to those CMS specifications. We have some big issues on other construction projects where they don't understand the difference between ODOT specifications and something that might be coming out of a normal architectural spec. So pay attention to that sort of thing. Gavin?
There you are.
You got any particular items as far as questions?
Well, I'm just curious to see if anybody's queued up. You would have the opportunity to walk through the site today.
Yeah, I don't see why not.
Yeah, I mean, if anybody's interested, because there are existing building renovations in conjunction with a new build. So in this building, there are some interior renovations over there, the district garage. We do have, you know, additions and renovations at the district garage. And at the same time, you can see how the site is set up because there's ground clearing on this side and over at the district garage, same thing. There's some clearing, there's additional fuel islands and et cetera. So, you know, we can walk through pretty much the project site. Right. And
this will be a fully operational site through the entire construction project.
Yeah. And to touch on Rick's point again, there is no, come in here thinking that you're going to build to state front end, because that's not applicable. It's ODOT construction manual that is, that's going to be applicable to this, and the same, at the same time, all the ODOT contractual requirements you find on the ODOT website, make sure you go through that thoroughly if you're not familiar with it, because, like Rick alluded to many times, a building contractor will come in and thinking that it's a state front end, which is very heavy on contractual items, but not necessarily construction specs. So please go online, get the latest ODOT spec 2013 is listed on the cover page, and it's your responsibility to vet through that ODOT construction material spec.
Do you, either one of you, Tony or Rick, or want to hit on the fueling situation of the tanks and locations of what's going to take place with that? Since we're on the, you want to explain what the process is going to be?
So the fuel island part of the project would be roughing in the electric conduit for the fuel management system and the power for the above ground tank pump, and that from the new building that's getting built at the 1705 address. Once that's out there, we have a separate fuel contractor on contract that will do the fuel island. They'll pour the concrete, they'll set the tanks. They'll complete that. So it'll just be the rough end, the wiring, and the concrete out.
And put the bucket permits to be part of the contract.
We'll clarify that in the next addendum as well. Okay. Yeah, like where the scope of this contractor will be versus, we'll decide how much of the vendor is going to be rolled in. Yeah. So in the next addendum, the information
will be released. Clarity, yeah, on the fuel fuel tank is going to increase in size from 6,000 gallon diesel, 2,000 gallon gasoline split tank to 6,000, which will make some changes in the pad size and some other things, so that will all be clarified.
Questions, how does that information then get clarified on any addenda? The purpose of the pre-bid meeting is everybody gets a chance to hear the question, mm-hmm, and the response, and then it's documented in an addendum. How is somebody going to document any type of questions? And
if anything, you won't be allowed to answer, but they would have to present those back through the process. I mean, right, it would be a no questions asked. If you're talking amongst yourselves, that's fine, but like Gavin or Rick or Tony or anybody else cannot divulge information without everybody's knowledge of that.
They have to go through the RFI process online, and once the RFI comes in, we'll answer it. So once, let's say today, if you put eyes on the space, if you have any questions, write them down. Post them on, post them through the RFI process, and then the design team and ODOT will respond to it. So,
ODOT people just have to be diligent not just to to sit and answer questions and talk about the situation. If you do have questions, that'll be the point in time where you have to go back through the pre-bid process and submit those specific questions back to me that way.
Correct. Aaron, I know you had some relations or contractors before. Is there anything construction-wise that you need to share as far as invoicing and stuff like that that might be different for building contractors, you know, dealing with our process?
Yeah, to kind of expand on what Gavin had said, the biggest thing is extra work when that pops up. It's handled very differently from what we've come to understand than what typical building projects have been handled. Read the 100 section, specifically the 109 section in the 2013 CNMS. That's going to guide you through. Our first step is to negotiate a price. So if we have extra work, the contractor submits a cost for that work, we'll take a look at it. Typically on our roadway type work, we will compare it to state average bid costs. We don't have that kind of information, so we may consult with facilities in the central office to see if it's a reasonable cost. If we can work out a negotiated cost, that's our preferred way. If that's not able to be done, then we do what we call force account, where every bit of your work is tracked. We sign off every day. Contractor and the inspector would sign off on how many hours, how many people, what type of equipment was used. And then at the end of that extra work type, we'll settle, you know, for what you guys paid for your prevailing wage, what the equipment rental costs were. We have a spreadsheet that we use. It's a standard ODOT spreadsheet that you're able to use and put all those costs in, and that's how we pay for that work. So it's very different from what building contractors, vertical contractors are used to. That's the biggest thing we've seen with the building type projects that we've administered. Mike, you got anything further?
No, I think that hits it pretty good. The specification Darren's sending you to, it explains all the markups you're allowed, and there's no other markups allowed except for those. But you'd want to understand that specification.
Yes. Since the building is being occupied while we're doing it, is there any working hour restrictions? I mean, will we be working in here while it's being occupied? Or do you anticipate any second shift or a weekend or other kind of time?
My understanding, there's no restrictions. That's correct.
I think, like, so we're working in different areas of the building, so the front of this building that gets remodeled, we were able to try to close off a large area. Try to vacate a certain area so that we can both do that at the same time. I don't know if there'd be any reason to think of it.
We'll accommodate work schedules.
That'd be for coordination with the district facilities office. Any shutdowns for plumbing or anything like that, electrical. Just make sure that there's really good notice of any of those things so we can coordinate with those things.
That would be the main thing. We just want to work together. You know, we're doing this area, shut this down. We just have to vacate.
Obviously, the district garage will have to be under the maintained throughout the winter. So, you know, that is an area that I'm concerned with. But because you're working outside the boundaries mostly and only remodeling an area that we currently do not use, the only real concern I'm going to have is when we start doing office work and stuff, moving people around, making sure that they have access to computers and things. So, again, it's coordination. As long as we're coordinated with, we can give you access in any time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we don't care. We just need to be able to get to our lists and our computers and be able to maintain functionality, especially during the winter.
Anything else? appreciate everybody for showing up this morning. And remember, if you do have stuff that happens to pop up, send them in, and we'll address them as quickly as possible. So with that, I'll adjourn the meeting.
I said one other thing. I'm not sure if it's in there, but we'll have IT lines that we need to put into the office that are getting remodeled. So as far as coordinating that too, we would need a little bit of, you know, warning to get those boxes thrown in before you or drywall, that kind of thing. So we're actually going to be putting lines in ourselves.
So you're self-performing on it, was that all?
So we need to always put bid openings.
We also have a contract with some of it that's already set up, so we don't need to tell them. But we just need to be able to get the boxes in.
No.
You're actually doing rough and
old up is posted, and I think they notified whoever registers.
So we don't have to move up. Should be able to work it out easily.
Later.
I have all comments before our 72-hour window.
Yeah, so on the end, by end of this month, we should be.
All right, one last time. If not, I appreciate it, and we'll adjourn the meeting. Thank you.
That's fun to talk about.
Yeah.